Amen. I believe I was set up, you know, by God, so to speak. Because, you know, you could turn to John 3:16. We're going to start there. We're going to read John 3:16 and John and 17. And then he had me, rather than go to John 13:34, he had me list the scriptures for love as it's shown in 1 Corinthians 13, only he told me to substitute love for the believer, since we're all believers. And so, you know, in my notes, I always put it there just to make sure I don't forget. And he was like, I don't want you to open with that. He said, I want to open with Isaiah 43. And I'm like, well, you've been saying that a lot lately. And he's like, I know. I didn't know the lesson was going to be based around it. So let's read John 3:16 and 17. Then we're going to go to Isaiah 43. And the title, you know, I asked John for something, Deacon John. And as he was leaving my office, he said, you don't have a title yet, do you? I said, I did, but I don't anymore. I'll let you know. And I turned and walked toward my office. Well, I mean, when he left my office, I went and turned back. Then I got the title. I came out in the hallway. He was gone. I said, where'd he go? You know, but it's a new thing means a new focus. Okay? That's the title. A new thing means a new focus. Let's read John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, I'm going to share Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, in a couple of translations. I'm going to start with the voice, but I'm going to read the little commentary that the voice gives before verse 18. It says, the prophet appeals to a powerful memory. Say memory. Okay. And the Exodus. He reminds God's people, all descendants of slaves in Egypt, how God liberated them from oppression, how God devastated the powerful army that pursued them, in order to take them back to the whip and lash, back to servitude in Egypt. Stories of the Exodus have been told time after time for many generations. They are permanent fixtures in their minds. The prophet evokes these amazing memories to comfort them and assure them that what God is about to do is like what God did do for their ancestors centuries ago. I read that and I said, there's a relevance there. Because what God is about to do is very similar to what he's already done at the beginning of this ministry. Something new. But verse 18 says, don't revel only in the past or spend all your time recounting the victories of days gone by. Watch closely. I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak, and you're about to see it. I am preparing a way through the desert. Waters will flow where there had been none. The Living Bible. This is what the Lord says. The Living Bible starts at verse 14. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. Now listen, what he says next is very important. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. He's telling them, what I'm about to do will far overshadow what I've already done. So forget about what I've already done. You need to be focusing on what I'm doing now. Said, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. Amplified Bible. Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? The Amplified Bible asks a question then that's a little different. It says, and will you not heed to it? Will you not give heed to it? I start thinking about that. Will you not, God is saying, I'm doing something new. Will you not give heed to that? What do you think he meant when he said, will you not give heed to it? What does that mean? Pay attention to it? What was that? Follow it. All of those are excellent answers. And all of those, they're in the meaning of heed. Careful attention. Will you give regard to it? Will you yield to it? Then he said, look at the synonyms. Okay. Will you not note it? Will you not observe it? Will you not care for it? Will you not consider it? I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you give it regard, careful attention? Will you yield to it? And I'm like, Lord, that's good. But he said, yeah, but now I want you to look at the antonyms. I was like, whoa, okay. There were only two that the dictionary gave. I'm going to present it to you this way. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it, or will you disregard or ignore it? That says something different. Because if you're not heeding it, if you're not giving attention to it, if you're not embracing it, you're disregarding it. You're ignoring what God is doing. You're saying, God, whatever this move is not important to us. We want it to stay the way it was. And then I asked, I said to myself after, I said, why would anyone disregard what they knew God was doing now? And I started thinking about it. And no exaggeration. And I heard click, 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 click. And I looked and I was just writing something. I was just typing something. And I looked at the screen and this is what I saw. It's new. It's different. It takes you out of your comfort zone. It causes you to disregard your likes and dislikes. And then he gave me one that I just didn't want to say, but I said that I'll say what he told me to say. It causes you to think about someone or something other than yourself. That's what it does. And he ends it by saying something that's exciting. He says, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He said, with everything I'm about to do, I am even going to do this. I'm going to do something so wonderful, it's going to redefine your thoughts as to who I am and how powerful I am. That's what he's saying. I will even do these things. I will make a way what is absolutely no possible way that there should be a way there. I'll make that way. I'm going to make provisions in what should be barren forever. I'm going to make it flourish. Why? I'm doing a new thing. And he's choosing to do it through us. Now think about this. He doesn't need us. There were no human beings around when he said, light be. So obviously he has the talent and capabilities to recreate an entire earth by himself. So he doesn't need us to do this new thing. He wants us to do the new thing because he wants to demonstrate who he is through us. So he wants us included in it. We're going to have to embrace it. Because if it was the same old, it wouldn't mean anything. But God is redefining himself to this generation. Because we're in a generation that doesn't believe, but wants to believe. Pastor and I were in a conversation earlier about some of the crazy things that people are believing because they're looking for their spiritual connection. But they don't know, and they're falling victim to cults and things because it sounds good. It makes them think they can have a connection with God with no accountability. See, but if they saw, I should say, when they see just what God will do on their behalf, they don't mind the accountability because it comes part of the package. As a matter of fact, when they realize they're accountable and make the change, they get excited because they understand that their life got better. I mean, I thought I was happy. Now, can you imagine, how can you be happy and mad at the drop of a dime at the same time? That's idiotic. But that's how I was. One moment, I'm happy. Something happens. I went from happy to rage. There was no slide. It was either or. And it didn't take much. You know, in the elevator, you can go to first floor, second, you have a choice? No. I had no buttons. Nothing. Once you stepped in, we went right to the top. I mean, that was just it. And I thought I was happy. I thought I had to be that way. Until I realized God was doing something new with me. That's what one of the reasons why we've been talking about momentum. Because momentum gets you going in the right direction and keeps you going until you finish the job. And I found something else about momentum that I never thought about. Because I know definitions, I always read them again. I'll read them in a different source. You know, if I'm looking at this particular source, and I'll read it. If it comes up again in the next lesson, I look at it in a different source. And that's what I did today. And I saw something else about momentum. It says, it refers to the tendency of a person or group to repeat their recent success. See, that's like when you're playing in sports, you're playing football, and you know, you're not moving the ball at all, but all of a sudden, things click. Bang, you score 2 touchdowns within 5 minutes. Now you got momentum. Your confidence just shot to the moon. You didn't care that you were playing the Cowboys. You're like, wait a minute. We're the New York Giants. I love you, Archie, even though you're a Dallas fan. Okay. I mean, when you think about it, momentum, listen to this. It operates under the principle that continued success continues. Think about that. Continued success continues. That's what momentum says. But momentum has these characteristics, as we all know, and all of those characteristics must be present. But momentum will build your confidence. I didn't see the game. I heard about it where Carmelo Anthony for the Knicks set a record, scored 62 points, and they took him out of the game with 7 minutes left. Okay. Unbelievable. Made 65% of his shots. I mean, that's really unbelievable for him. Okay. And I'll tell you what he said in a few moments. I thought it was very interesting. But tonight, the one characteristic we're going to talk about is that momentum is unwavering in its pursuit of its goal. That means no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, you stay steady. You have no doubt, no indecision. You're confident in your belief, and you move forward in that. Whatever adjective you can think of, that's how focused you are on the job at hand, because you know God told you to do it. You don't care what anyone says. You don't care what anything comes, anything that comes. You don't let anything else get into your head. You stay focused because you know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, period. Because God said so. You may not even see where it fits in, but you don't have to. All you need to know is that if you don't do it, God's program will be incomplete. Why? You'll be missing. And what you bring will be missing. So we have to understand that since God's doing a new thing, it requires a new focus. Let me take just to Philippians 3. We quote it often. I quoted it Sunday. But again, I'm going to quote it in several translations because of the way it says some things. I'm going to start out with the New English Translation, Philippians 3:13 and 14. One translation starts at 12, but that's okay. The New English Translation. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have attained this. Instead, I am single-minded, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching out for the things that are ahead. With this goal in mind, I strive toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, I'm just going to share that part of it, you know, for time's sake. In the Phillips translation, it says, I leave the past behind, and with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal. Period. The Message Bible has a subtitle for that passage, and that subtitle says, Focused on the Goal. That's it. All right? The Voice says it this way. I really like this one. The Voice Bible says, I am sprinting toward the only goal that counts. Yeah. The only goal that counts. Folks, that's what God is doing now. And that's the only thing that counts. Not what he did 20 years ago, but what he is doing now. Remember, We have a church motto, and it begins with, where the love of God is what? Evident. And it says that where the word of God is, but it also says where the spirit of God is, right? And it also says where the power of God is. Okay, but we need to understand that we're also a place where it should be evident that our focus is on what God is directing through us now. That should be evident. It should be evident that what we are doing is a new thing, but it is of God. And the way it's evident, our countenance should be different. There's something when someone comes in, especially if it's someone, you know, that used to be a member here, when they come in, it should be absolutely evident this ain't the same place. God is doing something new here. And some feel, and I want to be a part of it. And they don't have to be a member to be a part of it, because they're already a part of it if they're in the body of Christ. There should be no doubt, no indecision, no unbelief. We should be Rock of Gibraltar steady in what we know God is doing now. Withholding nothing. Surrendering it all and getting in step with this new thing that God is doing. Because when we talk about unwavering, we're really talking about staying focused. No matter what happens, you stay locked on. It's like that new, what is it, the Lincoln MKX that has the headlights that as you turn, the headlights turn. Okay, that's how focused we should be. That when God moves, he doesn't have to say, hey, folks, I'm moving this way. No, we're so focused on him, as soon as he moves, we're right along with him. Right along. Like the shadow. Shadow doesn't have to decide whichever way I go, it goes. That's the way our focus needs to be in this new season, because God's doing this new thing. Remember I told you I was going to tell you what Carmelo Anthony said about his scoring record? Listen to this. This is what he said. To be honest, coming into today's game, I just had a different type of focus. He must have had a different look about him because he said guys were asking me what was wrong before the game. He said there wasn't really nothing wrong, just for some reason, I just had it. I was locked in from the beginning of the game. Before the game, it was just a mindset that he had. Resulted in 62 points. Knick victory. And he must have had a complete game because I was looking at he's had 13 rebounds. So here he is. I mean, shot 65% from the floor, 100% from the free throw line, and grabbed 13 rebounds. Why? Because he said he had a different focus. And yeah, it's easy to say, well, why don't you have that focus every game? You know, well, I can't answer that, but I can say this. We should have that kind of focus every day. Because we don't go into it wondering whether or not we're going to win. We already know. Even if the other team has three players that score 62 points and pull 13 rebounds, we still win. So we should be able to stay focused and to stay locked in on what God is doing, not really caring what our adversary is doing. It should be evident. Remember, it said Jesus' face was set to go to Jerusalem. That Luke 9. Let's look at those. Again, there's a couple of different translations. Luke 9:51. Living Bible says, as the time grew near for his return to heaven, he moved steadily onward toward Jerusalem with an iron will. The New International Reader's Version says, as the time grew near for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, so he made up his mind. The New Life Bible says, nothing would stop him from going. So when you looked at him, you knew. You know, don't say nothing, because there isn't anything that you can say that's going to cause him to change his mind. He's locked in. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to fulfill his mission, period. Even when his own emotions got in the way, he went in the garden and got rid of them. It's like, no, I don't want to do this, but it ain't about my will. It's about your will. One translation says the angels came and strengthened him. Why? Because no matter what he was going through, no matter what he was feeling, he was going to do what God was doing with him at that moment, period. That's the way he expects us to be. What God is doing with us at any moment, we get locked into it no matter what. No matter what. But I saw a parallel in Joshua. You turn to Joshua 1? And believe it or not, I'm almost done. Before that, Moses had a way of doing things. Moses had an assignment. Everybody was used to what Moses did, what Moses said. Then Moses died. And now God raised up Joshua. In verse 2, God said to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto who?" Okay? Verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." What's the next part says? "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." God is letting us know that in this new season, just as he was with Pastors Clinton and Sarah, so is he with Pastors Ed and Greg. In the same way, as he was with them, that's how he is with us. Okay? Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." We have to stay focused to be successful. Focused on what? On the word. What word? The written word and the spoken word. Whatever the word is, however God got it to you, we have to stay focused on it. We have to stay locked into it. Verse 13, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land." Remember that we were taught by our founding pastors, God will supply all our need. What God authorizes, he supports. There are endings and beginnings and God said it, that settles it. Those are the words that we were taught. In this new season, we have to remember those words. Because just as God was working with our founding pastors in the new thing that they were doing 30 some odd years ago, you have to realize that was new. The teaching was new. The music was new. The standards were new. They were different. They weren't always understood. They weren't always liked. But behold, God was doing a new thing then. They understood it. Well, he's doing a new thing now. The standards are different. The music is different. Everything about the presentations are different. Why? Because God is working in the now. He knows what's needed now. So he has us doing things the way he wants them done now. And we have to stay locked into it now. We can't afford to miss a day. We can't afford to miss an assignment. We can't afford to miss any instructions. Because he's doing a new thing, and if we're not embracing it, we're ignoring it. And we're not going to be guilty of ignoring it. This is the people's response. "And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses." That's what God wants now. What we ask, he wants you to do. as you hearkened to our founding pastors, he expects you to hearken to us. Why? Because he's doing a new thing, and he wants you to know that what he did in the beginning, it was unprecedented. And what he's doing now is equally as unprecedented, but it requires the same thing. Focus. Single-mindedness. Unwavering in our pursuit of what God wants from us right now. See, it didn't matter that RKO bought this building when God told the pastors it was the new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. She didn't waver. She didn't stumble. She didn't murmur. She didn't doubt. She asked God what the plan was. And God told her, drive around the building once a day and speak to it. She didn't say, you must be nuts. That's crazy. You know how to speak to a building. No, she did exactly what he said. And because she stayed focused, because she wasn't unwavering, we're sitting in here today. If she had wavered, we wouldn't be here. But she stayed true to the new thing that God was doing. Then, he told us, you have them all. It doesn't matter that they refurbished it and called it the Shops at Nanuet. He said that mall is ours, and the first building is the Sears building. It doesn't have to make sense. And we don't have to know why he wants to give it to us. All we need to know is he's doing a new thing, and we have to understand it and embrace it and stay locked into it and forget about what we like or don't like, because he's doing things that are drawing the necessary people. He already knows who's going to come in, and he knows what they need to see and hear when they come in here to loosen their pockets. No, I'm serious. He knows. Or do you not think that someone can't walk in the door and say, here's a check for $2 million? I'm like Pastor Lakeisha. I know that's right. But if we don't stay true to the new thing that God is doing, we won't realize it. He'll have to move us out of the way. Just, folks, it's no different. What happened to all the folks that were murmuring and complaining? They wandered and died in the wilderness. Never saw the new thing that he was going to do because they wouldn't lock on to it. And they started wavering. This was interesting because I wrote down, God is doing another new thing in the history concerning RLCC, and I put into parentheses, he's doing a new thing in his story concerning RLCC, and it requires a shift in our focus. A new thing means a new focus. As I was writing that, a thought dropped in. And as I thought about the thought, all right, it was something that Pastor Clinton and Sarah were always saying to us. They said, keep your focus on Jesus and not on people or programs. And so as I was thinking about that, and I'm going to close with that thought that dropped in because I want you to think about it. The thought that dropped in, you know, was that it required a shift in our focus. A new thing means a new focus. But if our focus is truly on God, it'll never have to shift. If we're locked into what God's doing, it won't require a shift in our focus. We already focus on him. See, the reason we have to shift is because we're not looking and focusing on what God's doing. We're looking and focusing on what we're doing and how we're doing it. So now it's different and we have to shift to do something else. But if our focus is on God, it won't matter what we're doing or how we're doing it. It's like that song. That's when you go to the left and you go to the left and you go to the right and you go to the right and then you jump. I mean, that's what it says. Jump. And then he says it again. When you go to the left and you go to the left, when you go to the right and you go to the right and you're going to think he says jump. He says, no, now you're going to shout. Okay. Then he says, now you're going to dance. We don't sit there. How many of you stand there and say, well, which one is it? Do I jump? Do I shout? Do I dance? No, you're locked into the song. So what it says, you do. And you don't think about it. You don't think, oh, my leg hurts, my body, I can't jump. No, you get into there and you jump. Doesn't matter how high. Didn't say you have to have ups, just said you need to jump. That's all. He's not asking you to touch the ring. But if he did tell you to touch the ring, guess what? If you believed it, you jump up and touch the ring. That's how locked in we have to be. In order to do that, folks, we have to be truly, absolutely committed to whatever our Father wants. I was sitting in the office, and I was thinking about being focused in. I was thinking about being committed, and I started hearing this song. And it's an old song. It's from 1991. I don't remember who it was that gave it to me, but I was the youth director, and one of the young people brought this, and they said, "Mr. Carr, here, this is a good cassette. You know, we I'm sure the pastors would approve some of these songs." And so I said, "Well, let me listen to it," and I shared it with Pastor Clint, and he said, "Sure." He said, he didn't, but he said, "I might use that song." He said, "That's a beautiful song." And so we had one time during a Friday night, and we were just doing different fun activities, and all of a sudden God said, "Put them in a circle and let them and tell them we're just going to have a little brief time of prayer, and while they're praying, play this song." You know me. I said, "Okay, everybody, come to the circle. It's going to take a few moments and just pray." "About what?" "Whatever you feel led, pray." And we put on that song. Then Pastor Ed had set up a little mini board, showed us how to use it so we could play our own music back there. Next thing I knew, these children went from standing to kneeling to crying, listening to this song. You don't have to stand, you don't have to kneel, you don't have to cry if you don't want to. But he told me to end by playing this song because this is what it's going to take to stay focused and stay locked in on this new thing he's doing. Let's go ahead and play this. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Lord, we recognize that you are doing a new thing. And we will heed it. We'll do the things that you require us to do so that you can accomplish what you want to do for the people through us. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one, Lord, that decided you needed a spirit center for the nations right here in Nanuet, New York. And you are the ones that said you were going to start it with a willing couple named Clinton and Sarah Utterbach. And you are the one that decided to pass it on to Pastor Red and Pastor Greg and entrust it to all of these people. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for giving us the strength. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our spirits and letting us know that this is where we belong. And since this is where we belong, we embrace what you embrace. We move when you move. And we'll do exactly what you told us to do. Lord, we've already surrendered, withholding nothing. Everything we thought we liked or didn't like, we've let it all go, and we're locked into what you're doing now. We're locked into the way you're doing it. And Father, our whole countenance is going to show it. We thank you, Lord, as you go about completing your plan. We thank you for the people that you're sending, because they will come. We thank you for the complete band, because it will come. We thank you for the drum cage, because it will come. We thank you for the finances, because they will come. We thank you for the signs and wonders, because they're already here. And we believe that everything that you said, every word that you've spoken about this place will come to pass. And we have committed to do our part. We thank you, Father, for entrusting this region to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.